This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
Houston, standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Brock used to argue with me about Shohei Yordan, who's a better hitter. I just pulled up their career numbers. You know, Yordan has a better average than Shohei by 16 points. You know, Yordan has a better on-base percentage than Shohei by 15 points. And they have an identical slug. Identical slug. Shohei's OPS plus 159, Yordan's 165. Let's just look at their K rate, because Shohei strikes out a lot. Yordan does not. Yordan's K rate, 19.5%. Shohei's K rate is 25.3%. Yordan's a better hitter than Shohei.
Yes.
Everybody, well, he's got more home runs. He collects stats. Okay, he's better at accruing stats. Does it make him a better hitter? If they're both healthy, if they're both right, who would you rather face? Game on the line. You'd rather face Shohei.
Yes.
Shohei gets out more than Yordan gets out. Shohei has swing and miss. Yordan's a better hitter. Does he accrue better numbers? Nope. Does Shohei more, is he more of an Iron Man? Yes. Yordan's injury prone. Facts. Those things are valid. Shohei's a better baseball player overall because he can pitch. Yordan doesn't pitch. They could use him, but he doesn't. He doesn't pitch. Yordan is a better hitter than Shohei Ohtani. Better average, better on base, equals slugging, strikes out less. What are we missing here?
I don't know.
Well, he collects stats better. That doesn't make him a better hitter. That'd make him a better hitter.
I think the people who push back, like, they hear hitter and they just think baseball player.
Maybe. Where's Judge at in these categories now that I'm interested? Because I mean, it's just eye test, right? Like, I'm just looking at eye test here. I think Yordan's a far better hitter than everybody. Yordan, what did I say his career average is? Yordan's career average, 297. Judge is 292. Career on base, Judge clears him there, 412 on base. Yordan, 391. And then his slugging's better, 613. Yordan is 577. But then you go to the strikeout rate. For somebody like Aaron Judge, it's extremely high at 27.4. Yordan is at 19.5. And that's before I even look at postseason numbers.
Yeah, where the postseason numbers for Judge are going to be abysmal.
Judge in the postseason in his career is at 236. Yordan, 294. Judge, 346 on base in the playoffs. Yordan, 393. Aaron Judge, 476 slug in the playoffs. Yordan, 551. Yordan runs circles around Aaron Judge in the playoffs. How many World Series has Aaron Judge won?
Zero.
Okay. Like, I rest my case, man. Yordan's a better hitter than Aaron Judge. Yordan's a better hitter than Shohei Ohtani. Are those guys going to win MVPs and finish higher on the MVP list because they stay healthy? Yeah, they absolutely are. Absolutely are. And they should. Yordan is injury prone. That's his greatest weakness.
It's also going to be almost impossible to beat Ohtani out for an MVP.
He's hit me with 9 WAR. But the WAR calculates defense. It calculates base running. I'm not saying any of that other stuff, Rocky. I'm saying strictly hitting. People are listening with other orifices of their body. All right, 713-780. But I appreciate the conversation. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What'd you think of the Spurs and the Thunders yesterday? I did that intentionally before people call me an idiot.
Shea falls a lot. I can't keep my eye off. I mean, the Thunder played excellent in this game, but like, why is he on the ground so much? It's not even the
because they call it,
but they don't even always. They just sometimes
they call it. Why wouldn't you? Like, are you trying to win a basketball game, Joe?
No, for sure. It's just like it's just not.
That's why he does.
It just sucks.
And I disagree. I completely disagree. Like, I have no issue with this.
He gets tapped on the back and he just falls over.
Are the referees going to call it?
Oh no. It's not an SGA complaint, honestly.
Okay.
It's really an NBA complaint.
Fair enough.
Like, it should not be called. He's doing everything within his right to get it called. Same thing with what we've seen guys do with, you know, diving into the after the pump fake and they get someone in there and they dive into him, they get the call. Like I just don't like it. It's not – SGA is just playing within the sandbox he's being given by the NBA. But the Thunder were clearly the better team last night.
Yeah, they played well. Game. I mean, easily the best game that they played, I thought.
Yes, top to bottom.
To me, it was SGA's best game, too. Like, he looked like MVP SGA, I felt, for the first time. Like, yeah, last night, SGA looked like the best player on the floor. I'm not sure he's looked like the best player on the floor in all the series. I think Wimby's been the best player on the floor pretty much every game this series. Last night, I thought SGA looked like the best player on the floor.
I agree. Like it's been, I think, very clearly Wimby over SGA. And it could have been like that for however many games the series goes, where if they go seven, Wimby could be the best player in six of the games. I don't think his team's winning. I think the series is over, honestly.
You don't think the Spurs win game six?
No, I think the Thunder are going to win it.
Wow.
Let's end this thing.
I think they're the better team. I think the Spurs are like, you see this over the course of NBA history, too. Like, a team usually takes a lump on their way to finally getting the championship. Like, you know, the Bulls, they lost to the Pistons. There were every championship team had, like, the Pistons lost to the Celtics. I'm trying to think who the Lakers lost to before they won theirs. But it seems like incrementally you have to eventually achieve. Like, you have to fail before you succeed in the NBA. It feels like over the course of history, Rockets certainly had their failures before winning their NBA title. It feels like the Spurs need this failure before they're really going to push over the top.
Yeah.
Now, it wouldn't shock me if the Spurs come back and win the series because Victor Wembanyama is a freak. Although, Victor Wembanyama annoyed me yesterday. It had nothing to do with how he played in the game. He didn't play well, right? He didn't have his shot falling. 4 for 15. Couldn't hit a three. Not that he's a three-point shooter. 0 for 5 from three. But did you see that he skipped his post-game media session?
I did.
Like, come on, man. You got to be a professional. You're playing pro basketball. This is your job. I understand that you're upset, but you have to go answer the music. You have to go take your medicine. And he skipped his post-game media. And here's where I get annoyed with the NBA. Like, the standard thing when you skip your post-game media is a fine. He got warned.
Yeah.
Remember whenever he swung his elbow, and I can't remember who he hit, but he swung his elbow and got ejected from the game? It was Nas? He got ejected from the game, right? The automatic, like, standard thing to do there is a one-game suspension. He got nothing. They're protecting their star.
Like, crazy.
And, like, I understand not suspending them because, like, hey, this is the playoffs. We want our stars on the floor. Is it fair? Probably not. But I understand the motive there. But to not find the guy?
Yeah.
Like, what are you scared of?
Yeah, because you could have done the Yuli treatment and gave him a suspension for next season.
Yeah.
Like what they did to the Astros, which I know a lot of people were pissed that they thought Yuli should have been suspended in the postseason. In the World Series, but like, it's your obligation to meet with the media. Like, I think it's the softest thing you can do as a professional athlete, honestly.
It's so bad. Like, just go up there. Yeah, they're better. Like,
Titus and Tunsil would do that all the time. We saw the Packers do it today, where they canceled everything. I guess it's a little different, but like, they don't want anyone talking about Josh Jacobs.
He got released
from jail.
Yeah, I saw something too that like, they didn't press any charges yet.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
But like for to be bad in a game and then like high, like you're the face of the franchise. It's just soft.
I thought it was weak sauce for sure. Yeah, I thought it was loser behavior. It was like, what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. Just be a pro. Be a man, Victor Wimby. Maybe it's because he's French. You know? Maybe he's not really helping the stereotype.
Hey, how do you say soft in French?
Victor Wembanyama.
Oh, I forgot, bro.
Oh.
You say Wembanyama.
Fair. Oh. I wanted the actual pronunciation, but that's a good call.
All right, there were some other things from this game that stood out to me. You got to talk about Jared McCain. You got to talk about the Rockets' implications with that as well, because they're kind of involved with Jared McCain getting to Oklahoma City. I'll get your thoughts on it as well. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
713-780-ESPN, HRNP, listener line. He's Joe on the Huntington Bank Bad Boy. Who's going to start? Who cares about basketball? Ask a junkie. Can't please everybody. We were getting yelled at yesterday for not talking basketball. And we're impressionable, so yell at us and we'll probably talk about what you want to talk about.
Except hockey.
You don't want to talk a little hockey?
It was a fun game last night.
Yeah, there's icing in hockey. There I like is. Going on. I like hockey. I like hockey. I'm a hockey fan. I just don't have a team.
Probably my favorite sporting event to go to.
I'm a man without a country when it comes to hockey.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day. Junkie, you ask 100 kids that watch baseball, how many of them will say Yordan? Maybe 5 out of the 100. So that's how we're determining the best hitter in baseball.
That's
you're asking children? What?
That's not the question.
What world are we living in here?
That is a popularity contest.
What a weird standard. What a weird standard. Go ask 100 children who the best hitter is,
yeah.
And that person is the best hitter.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Come on. No way you just sent that. That's crazy. 713-780-ESPN. SGA, 7 of 19 from the floor yesterday. Not that great of a game for him. I hear you on that, but he scored, what was it, 32 points on 19 shots? Like, that's pretty efficient. That's a pretty, like, did he have his best shooting night? Fair. But you give me 32 on 19 shots, I'm taking that sucker every single time. And he dished out 9 assists.
Yeah, the box score doesn't reflect, I think, how good he looked last night. Wemby didn't have a great
box
game.
Score looks pretty good.
Well, I guess more from the shooting percentage.
Yeah, 7 for 19. Yeah. You can nitpick that. You can nitpick 6 turnovers.
And there's a Twitter like highlight package of all the missed layups from the game. It looks like he had maybe the worst game ever if you just watched that.
You know how I feel about highlights.
Yeah.
Not a big highlight guy.
No.
Highlight culture. They need to start giving yellow and red cards for flopping simulation. The NBA is getting worse than even the worst at Euro soccer. See, I just think it's the officials. Like, the officials, why do the players flop? Because they think they're gaining an advantage and they think the officials are gonna like buy it. Mm-hmm. They think they're going to fall for them flopping. How do you eliminate that? You stop giving them an incentive for flopping. How do you stop giving them an incentive for flopping? You stop calling flopping. You just don't call it. And some of these two aren't flops. I got this. Somebody went viral the other day. It wasn't from game 5. It was from, I think it might have been game 3, actually. But SGA went up for a shot. I forget who was defending him. But he was in his cylinder. Like, he didn't give him a landing zone, wasn't in his cylinder. Like, it didn't look like there was contact at all. If there was, it was minimum contact. And like, oh, this isn't a foul. Yeah, it is. You can't be in somebody's landing zone. That's an automatic foul.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, it's not a foul. Like, yeah, it is. It is a foul. You might not think it looks like a foul, but it is 100% a foul. That's how you eliminate flopping, though. Another junkie, Isaiah Hartenstein, this is Ocho, had more offensive rebounds than Victor Wembanyama's total rebounds. So to me, like, SGA, I thought played really good. You know, we're going to talk about Jared McCain here in a second. I thought that the game was won with the Thunder bigs. And look, Chet's still getting bullied. Who was the guy who drove to the basket and dunked in his face?
Kelton Johnson.
Yeah. He just he cleared the guy like it was like a pulling guard. That was so embarrassing for Chet. You got a guard driving right in your face who clears you out with such force that you go from the middle of the paint to getting driven underneath the rim.
Yeah,
like, so weak.
Little guy.
So weak.
He's a little big guy.
So weak. But I do have to give credit to Chet Holmgren, and I have to give credit to Hartenstein. I thought the game was won by those two guys. Hartenstein with a double-double, 12 and 15. 15 boards. He's played really good defense against Wembanyama, and I have to give credit to Chet Holmgren, even though he's getting driven by a guard underneath the rim and getting buried. He still had a double-double, 16 and 11. They get that kind of production from the bigs, it's going to be difficult to beat OKC,
yeah,
whether it's the Spurs in Game 6 or whether it's the Knicks in the finals.
The Hartenstein move has been so good for them.
He has.
Like, just, it's been, it was such a good fill on their roster. Like, a guy that I don't think anyone, like, thought was that talented when they brought him in, but it's just, it shows how good the Thunder are at evaluating not just talent, but, like, the gaps in their roster. Like, he just comes in and immediately just makes everything a problem. It's a big contract, too. Like, it looked like a big overpay at the time, but they just bring in guys that just, they fill their roles so well, and that's why they're so deep. I mean, they can go 10 deep in the playoffs, and there's really no question about it. This McCain trade we're going to talk about, like, he's starting in the Western Conference Finals this year. He couldn't get minutes in Philadelphia.
Well, he did last year.
But this year he couldn't.
Yeah.
Like, Nick Nurse sent him down to the G League, didn't he?
I believe he did.
I think it was in the G League when they made the trade, or he had just come back up, but, like, and now he's playing in the Western Conference Finals.
Well, he was probably going to win Rookie of the Year last year until he got hurt, though.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a tale of two different seasons. And Philly was guard heavy. They had some really good guards up there. Quentin Grimes, obviously, you know, go Cougs. But, no, they traded him in season. You know what they traded him for? They traded him for the Rockets' 2026 first-round draft
pick. Yeah.
So the reason that Oklahoma City has Jared McCain indirectly involves the Rockets because they got him for the Rockets' 2026 first, 2 second rounders. He scored 20. He was very good. He was in the game at the end. What was hilarious to me, though, is I woke up, looked at Twitter. My For You page was just full.
Oh, it's TikToks?
Full of, like, San Antonio Spurs got schooled by this guy.
Yeah.
And it's Jared McCain doing all these TikTok dances from whenever he was in high school and in college.
And now.
He still does them?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's hilarious. He's doing all these, you know, macho dance moves, and he's cooking the Spurs.
That's how I would describe him.
How would you describe him, Joe?
Not macho.
Well, use a word.
No, just not macho.
Okay. All right. Just I think they're very macho.
Yeah, I guess.
Macho, macho, man.
But yeah, he, I feel like if you are a GM and the Thunder call you and ask for a player, rule of thumb should be no.
Yeah, but Morey's egotistical. Like, he probably thinks that, like, no, I'm right on this. Daryl Morey's probably got the biggest ego of any GM.
I'm trying to see if I find the exact quote, but I think he said, like, we're going to end up on the right side of history with this trade. When he met with the media after the
McCain. I mean, they had he's not going to be the one picking it because he got sacked, but they do have the Rockets pick this year. You know, maybe they'll get a player better than Jared McCain. Who knows? Who knows? But Jared McCain looked pretty good yesterday in game 5 of the Western Conference Finals. What'd you think of the cheap shots late by Plumlee and Biombo?
I definitely think, like, maybe it's just the way the camera shots were. It looked like it was a hit.
I mean, you can see Wimby look like kind of hand over his mouth, too. Yeah.
Like, it looks like he's, like, put a hit out on him.
Which I didn't think the Biombo foul was bad. Like, you know, McCain's driving to the basket. He went up straight up.
Yeah.
Like, his arms flails a little bit, but it caught him in the arm. Like, it didn't even hit him in the head. I didn't think Biombo's was cheap. Plumlee, I thought that was just a good foul. The Plumlee one, yeah. I thought that was cheap.
It's well-deserved of a flagrant one. They probably, if they would have gone two, I would have been okay with it.
He just... Yeah, I mean, that portion of the game, too, where you got your... I mean, basically, he acted as a goon in that game.
I mean,
he comes in when it was late, the game was decided, and he's over there cheap-shotting McCain.
He's 2 feet away from Caruso. Like, he's next to Caruso, and he runs away from him to drop the shoulder and the elbow into McCain.
That was intentional.
Yeah,
that was 100%. Biombo, I don't think, was intentional, but I do think that Plumlee's was.
Yeah, Plumlee for sure. Not even a question.
Calling the code red on Jared McCain.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
Why do you call the code red? Okay, you got 20, I guess.
Don't you want to call it on, like, Caruso, though?
Caruso's like been awesome.
Like, they called the code red on the wrong players.
I love Caruso.
Yeah.
It's a winning player. He was too zesty for Philly. OKC, kings of zest. That might be true. 713-780-ESPN. Have you ever heard of the group Drowning Pool who sings Bodies? Yeah, I've heard of them. The Spurs should play this when OKC is introduced. That'd be kind of funny. Okay, 0423. I don't see that. Basketball needs robot officials more than any other sport. How would that even work?
That 0423 is right.
Cool.
I'm just saying.
I don't see color, Joe.
I'm just saying. It's a fact.
Did anybody say otherwise?
Well, people were not sure, and then Isaiah Hartenstein confirmed it.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Former Rocket is how I see him.
What was he on the Rockets?
The one the Rockets. He played a good amount.
Did he?
Yeah. Played a good amount season.
Was that 21?
It was his first and second years in the league. 18, 19, when he was 20. 19, 20, when he was 21. Played in 28 games in his first year, 23 games the second year.
Okay.
Yeah, former
Rockets.
Did
he walk?
Yeah, I think they he wasn't drafted, so he was like on short-term deals. Yeah, he was waived by the Rockets. He actually got waived over the summer. Clear some space on the roster. Yeah, he's pretty good. I like him.
G League champion, it looks like, according to his Wikipedia page for the Vipers.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a good player. Oh, they did draft him, actually. I didn't realize they drafted him. He was second round pick in the 17 draft. Yeah. AJ, anything you want to add to this game that you stood out to you?
Not too much besides the, you know, some of the late fouls and stuff, but I think the Spurs are going to win game 6. So
I kind of do, too. Yeah. But I'm not – I think I'm pretty confident the Thunder win the series. Like, every time the Thunder have needed a win in the series, they've gotten it. Mm. They lose game 1, they win convincingly in game 2. You need to go split in San Antonio, you get one in game 3, you kind of coast in game 4. You need a game 5 victory because you don't want to face elimination on the road. They get it. So I'm pretty confident Oklahoma City wins the series. I feel good about them winning the series because every time they need it, they get it. But I wouldn't be shocked if San Antonio wins game 6. Probably the rest. I mean, the NBA wants it to go 7-2.
See the line?
No. I would guess. Let me guess.
Yep.
I'll say Spurs minus 2.5.
3.5.
Okay.
Right on the money.
No, I missed it by 1.
That's pretty close.
I was thinking 2.5, 3.5, though.
That's why I said you're on the money. I know what you meant.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, HRB listener line. Calling a code red on Jared McCain, it feels like it could be a hate crime. Sheesh. Morey has issues, but McCain was an ownership move by all accounts. Based on what? How was that an ownership move? He can't be making much money. He's a second-year pro.
They didn't like his TikToks. So they got
That's not a money move. He's a second-year pro.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
did it get him under the luxury tax? It probably got him under the luxury tax. That's probably what it means.
Oh, yeah.
Probably got him below the apron or whatever. That's a good point. Now, I'm going to have to research that to make sure it was a money move. See if they got him below the apron. If they got him below the apron, then I believe this texter. If they didn't get him below the apron, then no. It said Google it. No, you Google it, and you send it to me. Google me. I win. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, let's talk about some of the Rockets prospects. Some players out there that maybe the Rockets are interested in. 713-780-ESPN, Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
Your local bar could be your ticket to a global stage. Michelob Ultra's Soccer Shootout is giving fans the chance to win tickets to the FIFA World Cup 26. All you have to do is show up and compete. This promotional event is running now through June 14th. And again, all you have to do, show up to the bars. They'll have the event there. There's going to be an interactive soccer shootout. You participate in the game, and the winner will go home with a pair of tickets to a Houston-based FIFA World Cup game courtesy of Michelob Ultra. There are 10 chances to win tickets this upcoming weekend. On Friday from 5 to 8, you can go to Bombshells out in Stafford, to Vita Garden in Midtown. On Saturday, you can join the bullpen. They'll be broadcasting live from 12 to 2 at Kirby Ice House in the Heights. The competition will be from 11 to 2, but the boys will be out there from 12 to 2. You go to McIntyre's as well in the Heights on Saturday, or Molly's Pub in the Woodlands on Saturday from 4 to 7. To play for a chance to witness history, because Superior is worth playing for. Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 26.
Enjoy responsibly. 2026 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. No purchase necessary. Open U.S. residents, excluding California and Washington residents. 21 plus. Begins on 2/1/26 and ends on 5/31/26. See official rules at www.michelobultra.com/rules for prizes and details. Message and data rates may apply. Void where prohibited.
Warning. Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Your home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I didn't Google it, but I ChatGPT'd it. ChatGPT says it was a money move to get into the luxury tax. My argument, though, would be like, why not somebody else?
Yeah.
Certainly, there's got to be another player that they could have traded to get under the competitive, well, it's not competitive balance tax in basketball, it's the luxury tax. There had to have been another option. Like, they are guard heavy, though. You got Maxey, you got Edgecombe, you got the great Quentin Grimes. Although Grimes is a free agent at the end of the year. But they couldn't trade him. I think he had a no trade with the way his contract worked in the offseason.
Yeah, they just want to get under it right now. They don't want to wait.
There had to be somebody else on that roster to get him under it, though, because there's no way he's making that much money. No way he's making that much money as a second-year pro. He's on a rookie contract. There had to have been somebody else to make it happen.
Yeah, I don't know how much he makes.
Now, they did get a first-rounder for him.
Which, like, that's that where helps. It's like, if you have to get out from it, I guess, you know, at least you got a first and, what, 2 seconds back for it? But
yeah, first and 2 seconds. McCain has nail brand deals, et cetera. I feel like it wasn't ownership. He was marketable. Jamal Murray or LaMelo, both top five and three-pointers made this season. McCain being traded wasn't the problem. The package was. That's the whole thing, though. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you got a first for him.
That's a late first.
I mean, yeah, trading him at all, but like the fact that
would you rather have Jared McCain or a late first?
Jared McCain.
Yeah.
Figure out your roster problem later.
Yeah.
Even like, what kind of roster problem do you have? Grimes is gone this offseason. You would have had Edgecombe, Maxey, and Grimes.
And Grimes is going to leave this offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, there had to have been somebody else they could have traded. Did he get him under the luxury tax? Yes. Could they have traded somebody else? I believe yes. Astros lineup is out today, and Taylor Trammell is the cleanup hitter.
I saw that.
I love me some Taylor Trammell, but Taylor Trammell in the cleanup spot just makes me laugh. No Isak Paredes in the lineup today. Should we be worried there? Should we be worried? Everybody's like, oh, it's scheduled day off, which I haven't seen that reported. He also had a day off on the 17th and the 21st, so that's 3 days off over an 11-day stretch. that's a lot of days off.
Yeah, and we were talking during one of the breaks of where's the lineup.
Yeah. Now, he is on the lineup card.
Yeah.
Which means that, well, I mean, it might just mean he's on the active roster. You could, you know, perceive it to mean that he is available, but it could also just mean he's on the active roster.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's nothing wrong there. We'll see if there's anything out. But Peña, Yordan, Alvarez, Tremel, Smith, Shoemake, Myers, Matthews, and Vasquez.
What a lineup.
That is an elite lineup if I've ever seen one. I guess Burrows going up against Jacob DeGrom.
Maybe they're trying to go lefty righty here because they go Alvarez, Walker, Tremel, Smith, Shoemake.
Probably.
So going lefty righty.
That was the old Dusty Baker move.
Because I the way Camp's the swing at it.
No, it's probably to go lefty righty.
Put up a Camp fourth, but
yeah, I don't mind it. I mean, whatever.
Tremel batting fourth is crazy.
It's whatever. 713-780 ESPN. So a couple of names that have been linked to the Rockets. The first one, well, there's not necessarily in order, but the first one that I'll mention, Jaylen Brown has been linked to the Rockets according to the Stein line. Of course, the Stein line, as we all know, is Mark Stein. He's been covering the NBA forever. He says the Rockets are one of three teams that have legitimate interest in trading for the Celtics, Jaylen Brown. Where is your interest on him?
It's pretty low. Like, I don't love the, this is my favorite season ever because your best player was hurt and you got the ball all the time. It doesn't feel like a winning.
But has won.
Has won. And he had a great season. He was finals MVP with Jason Tatum out there. Like, there's a lot of value within the player. Now, do I think if, because the report was that it could be centered around Şengün or Durant. Which one would you rather, if it was like Jaylen Brown's coming. Would you rather that package be around KD or Şengün to go into Boston?
Neither.
Okay.
Neither. Like, this is where these, like, oh, there's interest in this player, like, talks, it really annoy me. I like to know what the trade's going to look like. That's what I want to see. Because if you trade either one of those guys for Brown, I'm out. Like, I don't want to trade those guys for Jaylen Brown. But if it was like Fred VanVleet, okay,
oh,
now
yeah.
Probably not, but that's why I like to see what the trade would look like. I really wouldn't want to make that trade.
The Durant one just intrigues me. If it was like the Rockets are making this trade and you had to pick between Durant and Şengün, who's going out the door? I'd rather trade Durant because then you still have this young core that you're developing. Yes, you're going to give it first round picks. To get this done.
It just doesn't make any sense where either team would want to do that.
Unless just Brown and Tatum are just done. Like, now, is Jaylen Brown going to like, how's he going to like Portland? We'll see.
Yeah, but I think, like, I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, you just get younger.
Yeah,
like,
you get younger.
Is Jaylen Brown as good as Kevin Durant right now? Eh, probably not. I don't think it's a huge divide.
No, it's not a big drop off.
And then you gain, what, 9 years of youth?
Yeah, so like you still have. So
yeah,
like,
you taught me into Durant as opposed to Alpi. Not that I'm a huge Alpi guy.
No, I'm not either. But like you keep the younger core together. Now,
you kind of get younger. Like, yeah.
You get rid of Alpi and you bring in Jaylen Brown to pair with Kevin Durant and Amen Thompson. Like, there's still a lot of real good there. Now, does it elevate you to the Spurs and the Thunder? No.
What does it do with Fred?
Fred's just, he's your point guard.
Yeah, I feel like Jaylen Brown's going to want the ball in his hands, though.
Yes, but he doesn't have to be the one always initiating the offense either. Like, you'd be assuming you're getting a buy-in here. No, Fred could always opt out and surprise us.
That's true. I wouldn't hate that. Like, I really wouldn't.
No, like, it wouldn't be the worst thing for the
Rockets. I like Fred, but he's going to be an older point guard coming off a pretty serious knee injury that's making a ton of money.
Yeah. Like, him coming back could actually be a bad thing for the Rockets.
I mean, yeah.
Like, just the reality of, like, if he's a significantly
I'm not
going to
call
player.
It a bad thing. But well, just if he's, like, there are scenarios out there where it'd be best in the best interest of the team.
Yeah, he could be washed up at his age coming off this injury. It's a total possibility.
Yeah, I think you talked me into it.
So Durant over Jaylen Brown. Look, and I don't love the idea of it. Still,
here's my hangup though. I don't want to include any future first round draft picks.
You're going to have to though.
Well, then I'm out. Like that to me matters more because I feel like that's your only chance of ever passing the Thunder and the Spurs, and it's probably a ton of years down the road.
No, I do think.
Now, here's where I'll meet you in the middle.
Yeah.
If you can give me protections on them.
Which you can.
Top 5 protections, top 8 protections.
Yeah.
Then we can chat. But That's where I'm at on that. I don't want to trade any of my future first round picks that could be top five, top eight picks.
No, like I'm not giving up the Brooklyn pick to do this.
No,
like you could the Dallas pick be fine in 2030. Like they're I don't think they're gonna be bad then. So like I wouldn't be heartbroken. Your own capital, but like the Suns.
Even
I think,
then, man, like Cooper Flagg gets hurt, they don't have a good roster around them. Like I want protections. I want protections.
That's totally fair. Like
you could luck your way into the next, you know, All Star.
Yeah, like.
Young All-Star, I think you need youth because you've been passed with young cores in the West.
Yeah. I wonder how complicated these trades are going to get now because of these new weird tanking rules. Like, is there going to be like a protection of like if you trade for the Dallas pick but it ends up back-to-back years in the top five and that means that it can't be the fifth pick in the draft when – the Celtics would acquire it. Is there? Does that mean it defaults to a different pick later? Like, how are these just going to get overly complicated now?
They might.
Like, where it's going to be even more impossible to understand of what is and what is not being traded in these deals. But yeah, like I would prefer KD over Şengün in that one because then you're still betting on your young core.
You get younger.
Like you're getting younger.
You and, still have your score.
And your hope would be that that these guys actually develop in the way that you want, and then Jaylen Brown elevates with them. And you do have a team that can compete with the Spurs and the Thunder and gives you a longer window.
Yeah, I don't think you're competing, though. And you'd also be trading Twitter burners for podcasts.
Yes.
So that's probably a win, unless Brown's, like, bashing his teammates on his podcast.
But one of them is confirmed. One's not. It's not 100% confirmed.
Yeah, we all know it's confirmed. How about the other one out there is Kyrie Irving. This is according to Scoop B. Of course, he's with Dallas. The Rockets are closely monitoring Kyrie's availability.
I'm in on Kyrie.
Really?
Yeah, I'm in on Kyrie.
So you like Kyrie more than Jaylen?
I think the trade package is totally different. Okay. I think you're talking about a very similar trade to what you did with Kevin Durant. So where you're talking about one piece of this roster that it's already a little, you know, a little cluttered in the, you know, in the front court. Like, could you do Jabari and a first for Kyrie? Just like you did Jalen Green and a first for KD. Like, I think of, in terms of trying to add a big time, like, boom potential player.
That doesn't sound like it would work with the cap. Probably Kyrie's not on a max, right? Jabari signed for less than the max.
So you probably have to include Fred.
Which I wouldn't hate that.
And, like,
I don't want to give up a first. So if you're talking about Fred, Jabari, and a first, I'm going to need probably, like, a lotto protection on that first.
Yeah.
And I like Jabari. I would want it more to be a sign and trade with Tari. See, again, this is why I need to see these trade proposals. Because maybe the Mavericks are demanding him in. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds silly. But I like to see what the proposals versus just, like, the interest.
Actually, like, a sign and trade with Tari and then using Fred to match cap to get Kyrie Irving would be pretty good.
I'm down for that.
Like, that'd be actually almost like, that could be best case scenario.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Because Tari's probably leaving you anyways.
Yeah.
Although they say that they have him in his future plans. Fred VanVleet is a little younger than Kyrie, but I think he's a little lesser of a player, too. They're both coming off injury.
Yeah, it's just there's, I take the risk with Kyrie.
I like Tatum more than, or I'm sorry, I like Brown more than Irving, but the cost would be more expensive.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a cheaper move. In terms of what you'd be giving up to get a star player with also a shorter window. But, like, could you give up just maybe one of your firsts to get it done? Yeah, I think it's on the table.
I have huge restrictions on my first. Huge restrictions on my first. Because I think that's your best chance of, like, building a contender is you're getting lucky with one of those firsts. Especially, like, the Brooklyn one.
Well, see, I think that's why it's more if it's a Rockets first. Because you're betting on that you're going to be good, no matter what. That pick's going to be in the 20s. Now, they're not going to want that, but... And who knows if he even cost that? Like, what is Kyrie going to cost in the open market? Like, I think he has more value than Anthony Davis and Trae Young, but those guys went for pennies this season. So, like, does that factor in to this at all? And also, it's Kyrie to where if he doesn't give the sign-off to a team, like, are we sure he's not just going to retire?
It could lessen his value.
So, it's like, you might not have to give up first to get Kyrie.
You got a flat earther and a burner. On the same team.
Back together.
A bunch of junkies are saying it didn't work out in Brooklyn. They don't like each other. I thought that was overblown. I thought that they get along fine.
From what I remember.
I don't remember there being beef, or if the beef was there, it was squashed.
I mean, from what I remember, like some of the stories that were coming out of Brooklyn was it was KD and Kyrie that were hosting practices after Steve Nash left the building because he was so bad at it.
Yeah, I thought that they were fine. I thought that was mostly rumor, but who knows? Dallas is probably drafting a guard this year, too. They might want a vet to develop. Branham needs a shirt that says huge restrictions on my first. So I can get down with that. Why would we bring another point guard in when we have the greatest point guard to ever put on a Rockets jersey in Fred Van Vliet? The filler of holes, the leader of men, the missing link. dump the whole roster with the exception of Amin and Şengün. I'm not hung up on Şengün. If there's a trade out there that makes sense for Şengün, I'm trading Şengün. I would trade Şengün for a top seven pick this year. I know you can't financially, all of that. I'm not a Şengün guy. Kyrie by the numbers is the most clutch player in NBA history. Count me in. Ocho, I've always liked Jaylen Brown, although I don't think he is as great as he thinks he is. I trade anyone but KD and Van Vliet for him. The rest of the core is booty. He doesn't like Amin, but he likes shooters, so he has a bias against Amin. KD can go. He doesn't help this team grow. Rockets need a big athletic center before anything else. Hartenstein's the one that got away.
Yeah.
The one that got away. Long-term, Kevin Durant, better tomorrow, LP. I'm fine giving up an old NBA player for a younger one. There you go. We figured it out. Dallas is getting Kingston Flemings. That would make me sad. Where's their pick? The Mavericks don't have a top seven pick.
That's their ninth, I think.
So Kingston would have to fall a little bit from most of the mock drafts. Although I saw a mock draft that had Kingston falling like 13.
Really?
Yeah. I forget who it was. I think it was to me, though, it was a very much a like a grab attention mock draft because it was wild.
Oh, okay.
It was wild.
It looks like on because
Dallas is nine. He could fall to nine.
Tankathon does like they aggregate it, I think, is the way they do theirs. They've got Flemings going six.
Oh, really? I've seen most places seven to Sacramento.
I think it's that Wagler Flemings Acuff grouping.
Yeah.
Feels like it could go in really in any direction.
See, I've read that the Kings love Acuff, but they pick seventh. So maybe they have to like trade up a couple spots to get him. Like, how much do they really love him, you know?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. The draft's going to be fun. But yeah, hopefully he doesn't fall to Dallas. That would be worst case scenario for my fandom. It'd be great for him. I'd be root for him, but I wouldn't root for Dallas. No. That would be terrible for me. Selfishly, that'd be awful.
He's just out of your life.
And I care about me.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't be out of my life. I'd still root for him. All right, 713-780-ESPN. So yesterday there was this there was a question on the internet that Joe found. What would most South Carolina fans trade three women's basketball national championships for one national football title? I think we would all say, yeah, they would do that.
Yes, like, they would.
Don Staley, love you, but yeah, we're trading three of your titles for one Gamecock football championship.
Yeah.
I think we would all be like, yeah, that makes sense.
100%.
Like, unless you're directly involved with the South Carolina women's basketball program, which is the best in the country, she's done fantastic, they're going to trade three Gamecock titles on the women's basketball side of things for one Gamecock football title, right?
Yes.
So the question that we have for you, what sports thing would you trade for your favorite team to win a championship? Realistic trades. And you got to give something away here. It can't just be like my left shoe. No, it's got to be something real.
Something valuable.
Something valuable. Which valuable sports thing would you trade for your favorite team to win a championship? Real sacrifices here. 713-780-ESPN. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975.
1976, D&M Leasing opened their doors with one mission, making a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. And all you have to do to start that process is go to dmautoleasing.com or call 713-290-1000. On their website, you can see their full list of brand new and used vehicles that you can lease right now. Hondas, Fords, they got it all for you. You can pick and choose the kind of car you want. When you give them that call at 713-290-1000, you'll speak to a veteran sales agent who's been there on average of 10-plus years, and they will help you get into that new vehicle within 24 to 72 hours. You don't have to go to the dealership anymore. They're going to bring the car right to you. They'll take your trade-in, make the whole process as simple and easy as possible. Give them a call right now, 713-290-1000, or visit dmautoleasing.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Well done. Look at AJ. He's got feel.
Got the feel.
Some people have feel. Some people have, you know, they can adapt.
He's got it.
He's got it. He's got it. He's like, you know what? Bodies hit the floor. Ocho texted it in. Could that apply? Yeah, it can. The bodies hit the floor. This is what Ocho wants the Spurs to play when they're calling out the Oklahoma City lineup, which is actually pretty clever.
It would be very funny, Joe. Yeah. It's a good troll.
Vermont says this is much better than the Hannah Montana music BMAC plays. That's mean. He doesn't play Hannah Montana music. So the Rockets just sent out another tweet with their little leak here. Something fresh is cooking in Clutch City. Earlier, they sent out a little video where they're dining at Rudy T's Diner and like the cook, Mo. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, ketchup and mustard on the dogs or something like that. This new one has a bunch of pictures. It's got Akeem sitting like in a booth at one of the diners. It's got some food on the table, which has very clearly, it's got the little mustard squeezable thing, and it's got the ketchup and mustard squeezable thing.
Yeah. Bottle. Yep.
A bottle. Squeezable bottle. It's got another picture where it says Feeding the Galaxy since 67. Welcome to Rudy T's. It's got Rudy in like a white button-up shirt with like a little Rockets logo, but it's covered up by this guy's hand across the way, which I can't tell who the guy is. They're drinking milkshakes. I don't know if that's a clue or not. The menu is like checkered with ketchup and mustard,
yeah.
The red and the yellow. There's another picture of, I guess, a behind the scenes. There's one where they're at the bar having some milkshakes. I think this is Steve Francis in the middle, the house that Francis built. But he's got Calvin Murphy to his right, and he's got Bill Worrell, Go Cougs, to his left. And if you look closely, they have like the hot dogs in the like picture. And then in the top right corner, like almost out of view, the Dunkstronaut.
I see that now.
The Dunkstronaut kind of in the top right corner of the Calvin Murphy thing.
So the Dunkstronaut's staying.
I believe they're going to go Dunk. I think they're going to go Dunkstronaut as the primary logo with ketchup and mustard. I'm excited.
What a combo that's going to be.
They've done a great job like leaking this out in the trailers too, because like everybody's like, all right, baby. I don't love the roster, but I love your kits. I love your uniforms.
They're going to sell jerseys.
Yeah, for sure.
Sell those new Jaylen Brown jerseys.
This is well done by the Rockets.
This is a good rollout. This is fun.
Great rollout. Hopefully they don't screw up like the font, you know? Hopefully it's like...
Well, did you see this yesterday, the photos?
Yeah, what is that?
It's like a silhouette of Durant and Şengün.
Well, I know that.
Of like,
but like, what's it supposed to mean?
I don't know. Like, that's why I'm wondering, like... It's got to be something with the new uniforms.
Them wearing them, probably just hidden.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, that's what it's going to be. I bet probably. You whenever they like tweet it out, it's going to be these.
Yeah. I was just wondering if the yellow background meant something, because it looks like a moon kind of. But
it kind of looks like a sun to me.
Yep, that's probably what I should have said.
It gave me a little Phoenix Suns vibes, actually.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, because there's like a giant sun. Like a, you know, it looks like a moon. Why? Don't beat yourself up.
I say some stupid things.
Just you, Joe.
It looks like the sun setting to me.
It does.
He said the moon.
I just round.
Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. So the question we asked you, what sports thing would you trade for your favorite team to win a championship? So we'll get to ours here, and then we'll get to the junkies on the other side. What would it be for you, Joe? What sports thing are you willing to trade for your favorite team to win a championship?
So I was trying to, like, for Houston, what's tradable here? Because it was three championships, three women's basketball championships for a football championship.
Done. I'm in.
Easy. So I feel like we have to.
Sorry, Cynthia Cooper-Dyke.
Like, are you willing to trade one of the Rockets titles or Astros titles?
Yeah, I would trade one of them. Yeah,
I'm trying to think what I would trade. Like, I would probably go 22 Astros title.
Ooh, that's tough. The Rockets ones are hard for me to trade because
that's why I didn't put them on there.
They're both very very cougar.
Now, if you trade 17 away, you do get rid of the trash can controversy.
That doesn't bother me.
But, like, if it does bother you, then you can get rid of that.
I think 22 is tough, though, because Jordan, man.
I know, but, like, 17 was so much fun. Like, now my personal favorite memory was 22 because I was able to, be there for it. But I would trade 22 for a Texans title. A Super Bowl. I would love just to see what this place is like with a Texans championship.
Yeah. I can't decide which championship I want to give. Would you give one of each for a Texans title?
No.
You wouldn't?
No, because
you don't care about the Rockets. At 90, in the mid-90s at least?
I think it adds so much to Dream's legacy to have those back-to-back titles in between Jordan.
That's true. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's like two championships for one, and they're all pro sports. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's a one for one trade.
I'll trade any future Comets championship for a Texas.
Oh yeah, trade title. Trade the four Comets.
I would trade never getting an NHL team for any one of those teams to win it all.
That's a good trade. Because I'm a good friend.
I would trade all three pros to get all U of H national titles.
I would say, because I was a good friend, I would trade all the Comets titles for a Cougs basketball.
I would trade never winning a pro title in this city.
Again?
To win in every sport at U of H.
One time? You can't have it like a dynasty.
One in every sport. One in every sport.
More pro championships.
No more pro championship for as long as I'm alive.
For all Kooks.
They're going to try to assassinate me.
That's a crazy trade.
Trade every zero pro championships for the rest of my life to give U of H a national championship and one in each sport. I'll make that trade.
That's a big trade.
I'll make that trade.
That's a splash trade.
I'm doing it.
AJ, do you have one?
He's going to trade a Texans title for a Cowboys title.
Oh, well, Texas, I mean, Texas don't have any. Right, exactly.
Well, I was going to say
Comets probably for Rockets, something like that. So
see, that's so weak, though. Let's be real. That's weak.
How's that?
That's why I feel like you guys go Comets.
You said
you're
trading
basketball.
A Rockets title for a Comets title?
No. Trading Comets title for a Rockets title.
Because nobody cares about the Comets.
That's why
I'm saying it's a weak trade. Okay. You're not really surrendering anything.
Yeah, like the value of that trade, I think, is like for a college championship.
Okay. Like, are you going to be heartbroken if the Comets don't win a title?
No.
Of course you're not.
Okay, well, I like the Astros 2022 title because I was at the parade, so I'll say the 2017 title for a Rockets championship.
Okay, I like my trade. I'm going to trade every future pro title in the city to give me one U of H title in every single sport.
Sorry about basketball.
I would trade the NHL team for another Astros title.
I would do it for any pro sport.
Yeah.
Or any U of H sport, too.
Yeah, because I just don't think it's going to.
I like hockey. I hope hockey comes here, but I'm not emotionally invested to hockey because it hasn't been here.
Yeah, but like shut down the rumors forever. You guarantee there's never an NHL team coming to Houston for a title for any of the three teams.
And you can surprise me over any point in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
We could be any team of the Big Three or my university over the next 5 years. You surprise me. No hockey. All right. What are the junkies saying? 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. What sports thing would you trade for your favorite team to win a title? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
KFNC and 97.9 HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save